And every faith, heart, fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us.
Are you bearing up with this wonderful weather that we're having,
oh,
Kelly?
I love tropical Minnesota.
Well, you've been, you're always busy. You're always doing something. Tell me what you're up to lately in just a nutshell.
In a nutshell, speaking at a lot of women's conferences. Just got back from Memphis. We had over 1,200 women on fire for the Lord.
Oh, wonderful.
And it helped that it was about 65 and sunny.
I'll bet. Yeah. I'm jealous.
So, well, yep, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, well, we'll hear more later on. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll speak of the graduate of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute about what he learned there that changed his life.
And we could all use some help keeping an even keel during challenging times in our lives. We'll have an excerpt from the Catechetical Institute Learn and Live talk that provides you with some practical ideas for growing in faith through troubling times.
Plus, hear about a unique local opportunity for nurses, doctors, therapists, and others to rediscover joy in healthcare through promoting the dignity of human life. And continuing education credits are available.
And find out how local Catholics give once and benefit many local ministries that could not function without our support.
But first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Latest edition just came out yesterday. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Kelly.
Morning, Joe.
You're about to head on out as soon as you get off the phone here.
That's right. I'm doing a little trip back home, my hometown of Chicago, doing a little visiting with some folks.
So. All right. Well, good deal. The Catholic Spirit just came out yesterday, and we have National Catholic Sisters Week. Tell me about that.
That's right. That's coming up. It's an effort to raise awareness of women religious across the country. And the week runs from March 8th to the 14th. And it's really intended to shine a spotlight on all the good work Catholic sisters have done in the past and continue to do today. It's an initiative that's based at St. Catherine University right here in the Twin Cities, thanks to a $3.3 million grant from the Hilton Foundation. And one of the goals is to introduce people, particularly young people, to what religious life looks like today. So one of the events St. Kate's will be involved with for the week is welcoming students from 33 other colleges and universities from around the country. They're hoping to continue this awareness raising on their own campuses. And 12 St. Kate students have signed up to spend a semester getting to know a sister one-on-one. They plan to meet regularly with the sister and film some of their remarks about religious life and their ministries. Then at the end of the semester, the finished videos are going to be posted online. And then in the fall, more students are going to continue the project.
Sounds so like a really good program. Religious life can seem kind of mysterious to some people.
I think so. And, you know, using the video, I think if they're trying to reach a young audience, that's certainly the way to do it. And there are a number of other events open to the public for the special week. One is a discussion called Sister Stories, How Did I Know? And, you know, about their vocation stories. And then there's an inaugural Mass being celebrated by Archbishop Harry Flynn. And both of those are on March 8th. So it should be an exciting week, I think.
The legislature is still in session.
Yes. Well, a couple of weeks ago, you know, we talked
Beware.
About... Beware. That's right. The state legislative session that just started this week and some of the priorities this year for the Minnesota Catholic Conference. And one of the issues the MCC is focusing on is religious liberty and conscience protections, especially in light of last year's passage of the same-sex marriage law. And another issue is felon disenfranchisement reform, which is kind of a fancy title there. But, you know, in Minnesota, there are more than 60,000 people who are denied the right to vote because of a past felony conviction. And about three-quarters of them have served their prison times, and they're on parole or probation, living in the community, working, paying taxes, but can't vote. So we have some audio from the Catholic Spirits interview with Jason Adkins, who heads the Minnesota Catholic Conference. And in the first part, he talks about the religious liberty protections. And then in the second part, he addresses the voting rights issue. So let's listen to that interview.
In 2014, I think the big priorities for us, first of all, would be providing greater religious liberty accommodations and conscience protection to those persons who object to the solemnization or celebration of a same-sex marriage. The Minnesota Department of Human Rights has plainly said that they will punish individuals, businesses, and other organizations who refuse to provide goods or services for a same-sex wedding. This is something that should be corrected immediately by our state legislature. We're working on putting together a piece of legislation right now that would do just that. And we started talking to legislators about that. So this is a terrible injustice. We have heard from numerous businesses and individuals who've either already been approached by same-sex couples for services that they have for services as part of a same-sex marriage that they object to out of conscience, or businesses that are very likely to be to have this question of conscience that they're going to have to deal with about this issue and don't want to be forced to provide these services against their will. Again, that's different. I would clarify that's different than simply serving gay or lesbian persons. We don't think that. I mean, these businesses have no problem serving persons with same-sex attraction. In Minnesota, there are approximately 63,000 Minnesotans who are denied the right to vote under Minnesota law due to a past felony conviction. 75% of those people are actually living in our community. So we've already said that you've served your time in jail. Now you're out in the community. You may be on parole or probation. And Minnesota has one of the highest rates of probation sentences anywhere in the country. That rate has increased by over 400% since 1974. So we've said people can live in the community, but we impose upon them all sorts of collateral consequences, right? They may have difficulty gaining housing, access to employment, and that's one of the reasons we worked on the Ban the Box legislation last year. So this is a piece of legislation in a similar spirit, based upon the idea that we need to give people a second chance and we need to help restore them to the community and give them a sense of being a stakeholder in society. So we allow these people to live in community, work, earn, pay taxes, but we don't allow them the right to vote. I think this is an important place for the church to be speaking. In one sense, we've lost Christian anthropology of the human person. So the idea of original sin, that original sin is a factor in human affairs and it can be fought against, is ignored on so many different fronts. On the flip side, though, without a sense of sin, you don't have a sense of grace and mercy, right? So if someone does transgress against the community, we don't try to work with them to help them to restore them to the community. We just throw them on the trash heap. This person has sinned, they must be excluded, there's no mercy, there's no forgiveness, etc., etc. You see that playing out more and more in American society. So I think this is a really important set of messages and policies upon which the church should be speaking. So that's one of the reasons why the bishops have become so engaged on this particular question. It's not just an elections issue, it's really a justice issue.
Now, the Minnesota Catholic Conference certainly is keeping busy at the legislature.
Right, there's those issues and many more, and people can just watch the Catholic Spirit for updates throughout the session.
Lent starts next week.
Yeah, it comes late this year, Ash Wednesday, next Wednesday, March 5th, and we have a lot of resources in this week's issue from Pope Francis's message for Lent, reminding us of the importance of sacrifice as a way to help and heal others. We also have some articles that explain why we Catholics do certain things during Lent, like why ashes on Ash Wednesday and why no meat on Fridays during Lent. And we have a great package related to the Catholic Relief Services Rice Bowl Initiative, including some simple meatless recipes families can make on the Fridays of Lent, and we have some ideas for prayer and meditation, and a story about how one family follows the tradition of Rice Bowl, which, as you know, raises money for Catholic Relief Services work overseas. And we have some book suggestions and information about a CRS app that can help families enter more deeply into the season. So there's plenty to get people ready for Lent.
I don't know about you, but I can always use some help.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the more resources we have to pick from, the better.
What about the Rediscover section this week?
Yeah, the theme, not surprisingly, is Rediscover Lent. And we have a feature story about a local author from Stillwater. Her name is Stephanie Lansom, and she's written a new novel that connects to the gospel stories. The book is titled The Thief, and it centers on a young thief living in Jerusalem during the time of Jesus' public ministry. And this thief, a young girl, ultimately has an encounter with Jesus that changes her life. And you meet other biblical characters along the way in this book, it really gives you some added insight, I think, into the biblical stories. And the novel really gives the reader some things to think about and reflect on regarding Jesus' passion. So it's very timely for Lent and would be a good addition, I think, to anyone's Lenten reading list.
Speaking of looking at the passion of the Lord through some fresh eyes, the movie Son of God, it's just coming out.
Right, today. It comes out today.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about it before, but you know, we've been obviously hearing a lot about it in recent weeks, and in this issue, this week's issue, we feature an interview with Roma Downey, who's one of the movie's executive producers, and she talks what it was like shooting the movie, and you know, she just calls it a love story, and of course, the greatest love story ever told, she says. So, seeing the movie, I think, is, as you said, another way you might want to think about, something to add to your to-do list for Lent. I would say just be aware, I saw a screener of it. It's very, very good. It's rated PG-13 because of some intense scenes around the crucifixion. So parents should, you know, take that into account if they're thinking of taking their kids along. But
there were some intense scenes in the Bible, let's face it.
Well, that's it. You know, I think if parents certainly talk to their kids going into the movie as they should, and certainly there's a lot to discuss coming out and help them process that. I mean, that's the reality of it. And, you know, it's an excellently done movie.
Look forward to seeing it. And what do you have planned for Lent for yourself, Joe? I'll put you on the spot here.
Yeah. You know, I am going to really make a commitment to do some Lenten reading. I know Matthew Kelly has a book out for a while now about Lent. I've just become certainly a big fan of his since the Rediscover Initiative have started. And I'm going to really make a commitment to do that. As you know, sometimes you work a long day, you come home, a lot of family things to do. It's hard to carve out that time, but that's the commitment I make in this Lent.
I am going to try to read the four Gospels over the course of Lent. It's a challenge that the folks at Truth and Life Bible have put out, and I know they're doing it in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and it seems simple enough. The app is free, so I'm going to do it.
That's a great example of something to do.
Well, the February 27th issue of The Catholic Spirit just came out yesterday. Should be on your coffee table. Should be in your hands in front of your eyes. Joe Tobolsky, editor of The Catholic Spirit, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And you have a great trip and stay warm.
Thanks.
You can hear Joe Tobolsky, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour and answering the call, have you considered growing in the faith by attending the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute? If so, you'll want to hear from a graduate about how the Institute changed his life.
And we'll hear why local people continue the tradition of supporting important ministries through the Catholic Services Appeal. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382. Holding on to hope, and never letting go, no, no,
until the day you come on home. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan. As you know, the Rediscover Hour is all about bringing the new evangelization to life here in our local church and in the lives of those we love. And in order to share the faith, we first need to know the faith.
And we're very lucky in this archdiocese to have an opportunity for lay Catholics to really dig in and learn about the faith. I'm talking, of course, about the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. It offers an in-depth 2-year study of the faith in a supportive setting with small group discussion and lectures by great speakers. Now, Kelly, I understand you'll be unveiling the name of the 2014-2016 class for the first time this morning here on the Rediscover Hour. But first, what's this about naming the class?
Well, each class at the Catechetical Institute is named after a saint who has a specific significance in the church that year. For instance, the first class began in the year of St. Paul, in the city of St. Paul, under the St. Paul Seminary. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, so it was the class of St. Paul. The second class began in the year of the priest, so they're the class of St. John Vianney. Well, this coming year, our Holy Father has called a synod on the family. And with that in mind, the name for the 2014 class is the class of St. Gianna. So the class of St. Gianna will begin in 2014, and they'll graduate in the spring of 2016. The Catechetical Institute will be graduating its fifth class this spring. Hundreds of local Catholics are already graduates of the Institute, and it has made an immeasurable impact on their lives, their families, and their communities. We're very honored to have Travis Amiot, who graduated in that 2010 class, the class of St. Paul, with us here today. Thank you for joining us, Travis.
You're welcome, Kelly.
Now, for people who are listening, who are considering registering for the Catechetical Institute, but aren't sure they can make that commitment. It does seem like a huge commitment. What advice can you give, Travis?
The advice that I would give folks who are listening today and thinking about the Catechetical Institute is to really pray about it. We all have to make choices with our time, and I think investing into learning more about the beauty of the church is well worth it. My wife, Stacia, and I are both graduates. The first 2 years, she stayed home on Monday nights. The next 2 years, I did, and she had two of our daughters during that 4-year stretch, so it can be done.
Wow. A lot of people use it as date night, too, but I like how you split it up. Could you briefly explain what the Catechetical Institute is and how its classes are structured to someone interested in registering, and maybe talk a little bit about the lectures and the papers? Sometimes that seems daunting to people that they have to write a paper.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, the program, as Paul said, it offers adults an opportunity to deepen their knowledge of the Catholic faith and further their spiritual formation. The Institute is 4 modules or semesters that pair with the 4 pillars of the Catechism, which are the Creed, the Sacraments, the Moral Life, and Prayer. So in essence, the Catechism is a roadmap for our journey in faith, and it gives us an overview of the Catholic doctrine, and it allows everyone to know what the Church professes in the Creed and celebrates through the sacraments, as well as how to live a moral life and pray.
Now,
the structure...
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
No, the structure is really neat because I think it really allows the catechism to be broken down into bite-sized pieces. The classes are Monday nights. They're from 7 to 9. There's some small group discussion. There's presentations by wonderful speakers. There are some papers, but really those are just a chance for you to delve further into what the class is teaching you and what's moving inside of you.
Well, what a great basis for the program. The Catechism of the Catholic Church itself is such a beautiful gift to the church, and it's so well organized itself. So it's a great thing to follow. Tell me how this program, how the Catechetical Institute has changed your life.
I think that's a really good question. I've noticed most of the changes in my life coming through some of the formative sessions, which they have there on Saturday mornings, where you get to take what you learned in your head and really move it down into your heart. The biggest thing that was eye-opening for me is I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about the attachments that we all have and how those things can be used against us so that we aren't moving closer to Christ. For example, I never really realized the desire I had to be viewed positively by others. It's not necessarily bad, but if it means that I accept being on Relevant Radio, for example, while neglecting the duties of my family just so that others would be impressed, that's a problem.
And his family is not neglected this morning, right?
They are not.
Stacia's got it all under control.
They're in very good hands, yeah.
It seems like everyone you talk to who goes through the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute is so impressed with the inspiring instructors. Could you talk a little bit about this and this engaging group of speakers?
Yeah, they really are amazing. They have such wisdom, and they communicate the ideas of the faith in ways that are really easy to understand. A lot of them added just great stories or examples from their personal lives, and it was probably one of my absolute favorite parts.
You've had some really huge names giving the talks at these things. Well, Deacon Joe Mihalik, who we'll hear a little bit of later on in the show today, is just one example. Now, I've heard that there's a kind of a sense of community that develops at the Catechetical Institute.
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with each other even after graduation?
Yeah, we do. I think there's a really special bond between people who actually share the faith. Some of my closest friends have come through the Institute, and it's just a great group of people that really are committed to Christ.
Isn't the godparents of one of your child through the Institute, friends you met?
Our last two daughters, actually, those godparents both came through the Institute. So
that's so beautiful. I know you have encouraged a lot of people to go to the Institute. I've heard Travis speak at St. John the Baptist and just does a really good job giving a testimony in even 3 minutes. But what would you say to people listening today who are wondering, you know, oh, is this really for me? Can I do this?
Yeah, I think the last thing that I would say is that God cannot be outdone in his goodness and generosity. And I honestly feel that people who participate in the Catechetical Institute will be blessed beyond measure.
Fantastic. Is there anything in addition that you can give us, a little tidbit on your experience in the Catechetical Institute?
I think for me it was just an amazing time of reflection. And while you know the faith, it's one thing to learn about it intellectually, but it's a whole other thing to internalize it and just to make it part of your daily life, which I think is a challenge for all people who are trying to grow in holiness. And it was really a good time to be able to reflect on all the beauty that the church teaches and how it might be speaking to us individually.
It's really kind of a multi-leveled thing, isn't it, between the intellectual learning about the faith and deepening your faith as well.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest piece, is it's meant to really change lives, not just to be another place where you go and simply learn something for the purpose of learning it.
And that 2 years goes fast, doesn't it? It's kind of nice, too, now that the Institute is providing things for graduates, you know, so they can really live the faith.
Well, you're a graduate of the Catechetical Institute.
Oh, I do a lot with the Catechetical Institute. Yeah, so right now we have a life skills class that really brings the graduates into learning how to live what they learned about the faith. And it also puts a little camaraderie between the different classes. And all of a sudden, the class of St. Paul is in groups with the class of Blessed John Paul and St. John Vianney, and they're liking it.
Well, Travis Amiot, thank you so much for coming and joining us and sharing a little bit about the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute today.
You're welcome, Paul.
And here are the details on the Class of St. Gianna starting this upcoming September. All modules of this 2-year course will take place on the St. Paul Seminary campus in St. Paul. Classes are divided into 4 12-week modules and meet on Monday evenings, 7 to 9 p.m., with 2 Saturday morning formative sessions per module.
Applications are being accepted now. The deadline for applications is June 1st, and with all the snow, June may seem far away, but do not put this off. Enrollment is capped at 150 students. For a link to the application form and more information about the Catechetical Institute, visit our show page at rediscover-faith.org. We posted a link to the Catechetical site, or you can call the Institute at 651-962-5028. That's 651-962-5028.
The Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute offers opportunities to learn and grow in the faith to everyone. Last week, the Catechetical Institute held the first talk in the 2014 Learn and Live Lecture Series, which is free and open to all faithful. Catechetical Institute Director Deacon Joe Mihalik spoke on crisis and difficulty, a time for growth.
These are challenging times in our local church. And of course, troubling times are part of life for everyone, from family disputes to serious health problems. Deacon Joe Mihalik reminded those at the talk that we should not be discouraged by times of trial. He suggested reflecting on the age-old wisdom of the scriptures and growing in the faith through troubling times. Here's an excerpt of his talk.
As I said here, I hope what we can leave with is at least some glimpse. And these are just some thoughts of mine in seeing as God sees. And that's what I mean by realism. We need to be realistic. Well, the most realistic way we can be is to see as God sees. How does he understand the difficulties that we go through? What is his wisdom given to us, especially in the scriptures, for going through crisis, difficulty, challenge in our life? And not simply maintaining balance, you know, or maintaining or getting through, but in fact growing closer to Him. Because we can always grow closer to Him. And I have 5 points I want to make. And these are all on the handout, and there's nothing sacred about the handout, by the way. If it's helpful, great. If it's not, don't worry about it. A lot of it's just scripture. But 5 basic points. First, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Secondly, be faithful witnesses to the truth, to what we already know. Third, humble ourselves and repent. Fourth, surrender to Him. And fifth, some things never change. Namely, love. And that's where I want to end. So those are the 5 points that I want to touch on this evening. First of all, when challenge and difficulty, even persecution, comes our way, what is the basic principle in the scripture? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And in fact, how often, right there, that's helpful. Because how often, how many of us go, why is this happening? Where did this come from? Why me? You know, and what's often behind that as well is, I don't deserve this. Of course, the answer is, yes, you do. Why me? What's going on? And we're thrown by it. But from day one, the wisdom of the saints, the wisdom of the apostles, Jesus Himself, Jesus teaches regularly, don't be surprised. In fact, here's what's going to happen. Don't be surprised. First Peter, and I'm going to recommend a number of scriptures here, and I'm going to give them to you for your own reading and consideration in the days ahead. And I recommend the entire letter, first letter of Peter, which is written to early Christians in times of difficulty. 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove or to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or wrongdoer or mischief maker. Now, let's be clear here. There are some things happening in our archdiocese because some people have done some very wrong things. People always do wrong things. And for those of us who do wrong as a murderer, thief, wrongdoer, or mischief maker, then we will suffer for it. And that's called just. That's a just suffering. And Peter's saying, don't be in that category if you can, right? Yet if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name let him glorify God. That would be unjust suffering. Simply for being a Christian. There's a lot of that as well. And in fact, there's some of that mixed up with what's going on right now. It's not even necessary for us to decide, though. The point is, it's still suffering. It's still difficulty. It's still challenge. And so the wisdom here is, don't be ashamed, but under that name of Christian, glorify God. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. Jesus Himself who endured unjust suffering. If it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and trust their souls to a faithful Creator and continue to do good.
The Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute will soon have the CD available online of Deacon Mihalik's Learn and Live talk entitled Crisis and Difficulty, A Time for Growth. We'll be sure to let you know when they are available.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear about a special continuing education opportunity for local healthcare workers, which reaffirms respect for life. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
This is Sarah Ennis with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Flannery O'Connor, a Southern Catholic, left her native Georgia at the age of 20 with every expectation that she would spend her life among the literary figures of the North. Struck with lupus 5 years later, she returned home to Milledgeville, where she lived on a modest farm with her widowed mother. Although the progression of the disease left her crippled and increasingly in pain, O'Connor produced a body of novels, short stories, essays, and letters that would leave a distinctive mark on American literature. She would write until her death in 1964 at the age of 39.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine, for any to receive.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan. Local healthcare workers have a unique opportunity to earn continuing education credits at an upcoming healthcare conference that promotes the dignity of the human person from conception to natural death.
The upcoming Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference is focused on joyfully bearing witness to truth in the midst of escalating challenges to human life in healthcare. Dr. Mary Paquette is one of the people who will be speaking at the conference. She's a family practice doctor here in the Twin Cities. She joins us today with more details about this upcoming opportunity. Thanks for talking with us today, Dr. Paquette.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what you'll be telling us at the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Bioethics Conference, which is coming up.
Yeah, the topic that I've been given is on integrity and the witness to joy in personal and professional relationships. And I just really feel like the need for this right now is people in healthcare today are feeling a lot of discouragement and fear. There's a lot of changes happening in healthcare. People are fearing the loss of religious freedom just in our day-to-day life. And I think there's a lot of just a sense of, what am I doing here? I'm punching the clock. I have to check the boxes on the computer. This isn't what I came into healthcare for. I came into healthcare to serve patients, to bring healing, and people are just are really getting discouraged in that. And what my talk will be on is just the whole idea of integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. And as Christians, we have such an incredible opportunity to bring all of us to our care of patients. And I think to just seek in this conference the opportunity to rediscover in ourselves why are we here and what are we trying to bring our patients? How can we bring them the joy that Christ brings to us?
Doctor, what are some of the issues you see in family practice as challenges to the dignity of human life? Some of the specifics.
Yeah, I think in family practice in particular, I deal a lot with issues in women's health care, women in crisis pregnancy, women in difficult pregnancies, and so much is assumed of patients today. It's assumed that if their child is given a prenatal diagnosis of a trisomy or Down syndrome, that they would just want to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. Or a recent patient who had a child with a disability has been told, you know, well, next time we can do amniocentesis or tests in the first trimester so you can have an abortion.
Mm.
So you don't have to take this risk that you'll have another child with this illness. And here these people are sitting with this beautiful child, and they're stunned that this is being proposed, that they would have killed this child if they'd known. And I, on the flip side, very personally, just went through a situation with a young family member who is in a vegetative state, and the words the physician used to speak to us in asking us to withdraw treatment was, everything that makes him a person is gone.
Oh, my. Wow.
And I just think we have to stand up to that. We have to say, no, what makes me a person is so much more than what I can say to you, what I'm able to do for myself or for others, that we have this dignity as human people. And I think as healthcare providers, Those are the struggles we're up against. Is it's unusual to
Do you think some of these struggles contribute to that burnout factor that you addressed a few minutes ago?
Oh, absolutely. The part of it is patients in the hospital today don't go home well. People go home sick.
True.
And they go to the next stage of care then. So when you work in a hospital environment in particular, all you see is these very, very sick people. And it can get very discouraging. You start to lose sight of, this is somebody's grandfather. This is someone's mother. This person goes home and has a wonderful, joy-filled life full of relationships, even if what they're going back to is a nursing home or to a limited physical capability.
You know, Doctor, I spent many years in the medical industry as a nurse, and you said something that really caught my attention, and that's that we assume that if there's something wrong, let's say with the child, that they would want an abortion. I remember when my cousin was told that her child would have Down syndrome, they asked her if she wanted to abort the child, and her first reaction was, "Well, why? This child needs a mother. Why would I do that?" You know, so.
Right.
It's such a beautiful thing to have a conference where you're really helping to equip those who are caring for people who are going to have to stand up and make that decision or face that. Who would you encourage to attend this conference?
Well, it's open to all healthcare providers and even has continuing medical education credits available for both doctors and nurses, which I think is fabulous. It also is open, though, to anybody who's caring, a caregiver. It's a field that's becoming very prominent where people are doing home care, caring for family members, workers in nursing homes, people who may not benefit from the continuing medical education credits but could really benefit from a rejuvenation of their spirit in continuing to carry on caring for a family member or, like I said, in a nursing home even.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, you've hit two big things in my life as a nurse and also someone who shares the joy of the gospel. And I love that idea of being a witness of the joy to the relationships from your talk. So I'm just curious, what do you hope healthcare workers will take away from your talk?
Yeah, well, I was looking up, you know, what is joy? Joy is something that's a cause of delight. It's an emotion that's brought about by accomplishing the things that we desire. And I think of Mother Teresa, what made her different as a mm-hmm. missionary is that she sought to bring joy, and that she sought, the way she could find that joy is by looking at each person as Christ. And, you know, in healthcare, I'm sure you've experienced, we deal with people who don't suffer well.
Right.
Sometimes,
yeah.
To no fault of their own, they've suffered and suffered to where they have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the opportunity to see Christ in that and to be loving towards them. And sometimes, actually, the biggest difference we can make is to the people we're working with. Just heard a nurse sharing recently about she doesn't go into work and preach her Catholic faith, but she's kind, she's understanding, she's loving. And then all of a sudden, her healthcare workers are coming to her and saying, "Will you pray for me about this?
Wow.
What do you think about this?"
Beautiful.
You know, we don't have to come out with the catechism. We just can come out with love and joy.
We can live the catechism.
Absolutely.
We can live that life in Christ.
Absolutely.
I'm a great admirer of the Curatio Apostolate. Is this the first event of this size and scope for Curatio?
Oh, golly, I wish I knew. that's more a question that the people with Curatio themselves could
okay.
answer better than I could. I've been to some of their events that were absolutely wonderfully run and just very helpful for the spirit.
Well, what do you hope? What do you say to fellow healthcare workers who you're trying to get to come to this event?
Yeah, I think that in particular, as a Catholic or Christian healthcare worker, you can feel very isolated. And again, this is a time where there's a lot of fear that we're going to be robbed of our freedoms as Catholic healthcare workers. Am I going to be forced to work with anesthesia when they're doing an abortion or a tubal ligation? Am I going to be forced to be prescribing birth control pills? We need to stick together. We need to network. We need to be renewed and encouraged. And that it's just absolutely crucial. There's nothing that's more helpful in continuing this kind of an apostolate than banding together in prayer and support. And when you hear speakers like Father Ostriaco on these issues, it gives you a whole new vigor to go back into the workplace and do what you know is right.
Dr. Mary Paquette, thanks so much for joining us today and telling us a little bit about rediscovering the joy in healthcare.
Thank you so much.
Here are the details now on the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Bioethics Conference. It takes place March 28th and 29th at St. Catherine University and the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul.
Continuing education credits are available. You can register online now at rediscoveringjoy.com. That's rediscoveringjoy.com. There are cost levels from a limited number of student Saturday-only tickets for $50 through the full conference for $225. Reservations are required. There is no same-day registration available, so you want to register now. And the deadline to register is March 14th.
The Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Bioethics Conference is sponsored by Curatio, Apostolate of Catholic Healthcare Professionals, in cooperation with St. Catherine University, the University of St. Thomas, and the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, the Catholic Medical Association, and the Twin Cities chapter of the Catholic Physicians Guild. We've linked to rediscoveringjoy.com from our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Caring for a person who is sick or disabled is not only the work of a healthcare professional. Many families and individuals care for elderly parents or grandparents, people with severe injury or sickness or other conditions every day.
At the local World Day of the Sick Mass earlier this month, local Catholics came together to pray for those who are sick and to recognize and honor those who work in healthcare and those who serve as caregivers. Here are the reflections of some of those who attended that special Mass.
My name's Kim from Holy Family Parish in St. Louis Park. And I think it's important for caregivers to take time out and attend these events to refresh their soul, renew their purpose in their mission and what God has called them to do, and allow God to bestow upon them the graces that they will need to persevere, because these journeys that we take as caregivers sometimes are very short and abrupt, and sometimes they're very long, and we need to be ready for the marathons and the sprints.
Hi, I'm Diane from St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony. Simply, we can't give what we don't have, and we get the healing and the grace and the strength from resting in Him, being with Him. You can't be with a patient who's suffering unless you understand what it is to rest with our Lord and give that grace to Him. It's not us, it's His.
This is Anne Marie. My parish is the Cathedral in St. Paul, and it's important to take time out to for days of World Day of the Sick, because we're giving so much from our emotions, from our psychological point of view, that if we don't have our spiritual well-being taken care of first, it's hard to really put ourselves aside and let the love and mercy of the Lord flow through our work and through our voice, through our touch, through our gentleness and the way we care for others. I find it very refreshing, and it's also the camaraderie of other people in healthcare and coming together and sharing our story, sharing our faith, and supporting each other in the important work we get to do every day in caring for the sick in our community.
Hi, my name is Kimberly. I am from the Cathedral of St. Mary's in St. Cloud, Minnesota. For me, it's very important to come to a Catholic event. I'm Catholic, of course, and the sacraments are incredibly important, the sacramental life. So as we come here to the sacrament, there's not only a host for the priest, there is one there for me, and I come spiritually with all of my patients to this event so that I can give back to them what our Lord wants to through me in my practice. And so it's carrying out the sacraments again for me in my practice and patients, and that is being present to them, incredibly being present, so that healing can come to each one of them physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is they're needing. And so I get rejuvenated coming to these, seeing other practitioners, other nurses, other caregivers, that we go out together and carry Christ, even though sometimes we're kind of isolated from each other. And so it's good to get charged up again, and so we can go out and continue our life of giving.
Hi, I'm John from St. Francis Xavier Parish in Buffalo. Well, I think that as a caregiver, oftentimes they are dealing with the illness of the person that they're caring for. They have to carry a lot of the burden, and that can get overwhelming. A lot of times the person who has the illness has come to accept what's going on, and very often the caregiver is still struggling to accept that, and they have oftentimes the daily burdens of whatever might be the physical and other needs for that patient that they're caring for. So coming to something like this really helps them to renew, to find that inner strength, that faith, the renewal of their faith to be able to take care of their loved one that they're that they're caring for.
A reminder that the Archdiocesan Day of Recollection for Caregivers takes place this Saturday, March 1st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Annunciation, Minneapolis. Cost is $15 per person, lunch included. If you're listening on Friday, for more information or to register, call Deacon Sean or Joan Curtin, 651-291-4543. That's 651-291-4543.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll run through a listing of other Catholic events happening around town, including a special Lenten event at which I'll be speaking. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? You wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek. Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local people and ask them a question.
We recently caught up with Catholic Service Appeal donors and asked them why they support local Catholic ministries through the appeal. Here's how they responded.
Hi, I'm Diana Goble from St. John the Baptist Parish in Jordan. Well, a long time ago, when we first started with the appeal, moved to the St. Paul Minneapolis Diocese. I was contributing because you contribute to the church. And then I saw a news report on TV, and there was this mother who had ran away from an abusive husband. She had a little one in a stroller, and she was holding the other one's hand, and it was cold outside, and no one had room for her. No, she was looking for a place, a warm place to stay, and no one had room for her. And Catholic Charities found her a place. And I said to myself, that's me. That's my church. That's what I contribute to. And so I always remember that. That's an important part of my life. But the annual Catholic Appeal gives Catholics an opportunity to be a part of many, many wonderful things that happen in the Archdiocese for less fortunate people. And how easy is that?
Hi, I'm Ken Harrigus from Assumption Parish. I think Catholic education is so important. And also, I think at this time, we need to help the less privileged people, and just the Catholic Church in general needs help today, and especially in our archdiocese at this time.
Hi, my name is Wing Nguyen from St. John the Baptist in Savage, Minnesota. Well, Catholicism has been a big part of my life. I went to St. John the Baptist Catholic School from kindergarten through eighth grade, and I'm still a parishioner there. You know, it's been a huge part of my life, and that's why I give back. Because when I went to St. John's, it was just like a good environment. And I also give because my parents growing up, they were all about giving, and they instilled in us the value of giving. So now that I'm older, I'm able to, with a job, I'm able to give back.
All right, we are Mike and Sarah Larson from the Church of St. Peter in Mendota. We did want to spend our donation dollars with something that was attached to the Catholic Church, so we're excited to do that. And when we found out about the different categories that it was being spent on, that was just more reason to donate our dollars to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of
places obviously asking for donation dollars these days, but it feels better and it feels good to give it to places that are spreading out the money but doing it with a faith-based approach.
My name is Michael Fondungala. I'm from St. Peter Cleaver Catholic Church in St. Paul. The Catholic Service Appeal, I think, is the only place you can donate money to help a whole lot of ministries. Other than giving to individual things, you can give your money to one organization or one place and it be shared out to so many different ministries. And the reason I donate there is because it has an impact, not only in all the ministries that it's divided to, but especially in the Black community and the African immigrant community. St. Peter Cleaver's church and school where I come from is in a Black neighborhood in the Rondo area. Without the Catholic Service Appeal, a lot of the African-American kids who come to Catholic school would not have experienced a Catholic education. And most of them come there tuition-free because of the Catholic Service Appeals. And without that appeal, a lot of them would not have that influence. So I contribute because I want to give back and I want to help other people who don't experience a Catholic education to get education.
You can find out more about the newly established Catholic Services Appeal Foundation at csafspm.org. We've set up a link on our show page.
Time now for a look at Catholic events happening around town. Register now for the annual Archdiocesan Lenten Women's Retreat, March 8th. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese's Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. It takes place from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. Peter Catholic Church in North St. Paul. This inspiring morning of prayer and reflection features two talks by Relevant Radio's Father Rocky. The theme is The Lost Art of Femininity. Cost is $15 per person. Women of all ages are invited. Come and bring a family member or friend with you. To register, go to archspm.org, search under events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information.
Another Women's Lenten Retreat opportunity is coming up. The Epiphany Women's Lenten Retreat takes place on March 22nd at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The theme is Living Your Faith with Courageous Faith and Contagious Joy. The morning retreat starts with Mass at 8 a.m., followed by a full breakfast.
You're involved in this,
aren't
you?
I'm a little involved. I will be speaking at 9:45 a.m. with door prizes to follow. There's perk.
There we go.
You got to go for those. But don't miss out on this dynamic and inspiring retreat. Suggested donation is $10 a person. Tickets go on sale March 8th and 9th after Mass, with the exception of the Sunday 5:30 p.m. Mass. Tickets are also available March 10th in the Epiphany Parish office from 9 to 5. Tickets will not be sold at the door. For more information, visit the Epiphany Parish website at epiphanymn.org.
And here are the details on the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. That also takes place on March 22nd. It'll be held at the Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. Adoration and confession starts at 7 a.m. Mass is at 8 a.m., followed by inspiring talks. Keynote talk is by Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute. The event ends at noon. Adult admission, $20. Student admission, $10. To register, go to archspm.org, search Men's Conference under events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information or to register over the phone.
Deepen your prayer life this Lent and invite a friend or family member to join you. Come to the Rediscover Prayer Evening. These evenings are a unique opportunity to experience Kyrie Jesu, worshiping Christ in community through Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship. Mark your calendars for March 11th at the Cathedral of St. Paul, March 25th at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, and April 8th at All Saints in Lakeville. All Rediscover Prayer Evenings begin at 7 p.m. Details at rediscover-faith.org.
And a reminder that the new movie Son of God is now in theaters, the first major motion picture on the complete life of Jesus Christ in nearly 50 years, is coming to a theater near you just in time for Lent. If you saw the Bible on the History Channel, this is from the same producers, Roma Downey and her husband Mark Burnett. Please note this movie is rated PG-13. That's due to the intense portrayal of the crucifixion, the scourging, etc. several sequences of violence in the movie Son of God, some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. As I was saying to Joe a little bit earlier, let's face it, there were some intense scenes in the Bible. We've set up a link on our show page where you can find a screening near you. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit our Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar. Kelly, it's always been good to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
I love being here. It's a delight.
Anything you'd like to give a plug to while we've got another minute yet?
Oh my goodness. I would just really encourage people to go to cistudent.com if God has put on your heart to learn more about your faith and get involved with the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute.
And offhand, do you have the phone number handy?
651-962-5028.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for coming and joining us today on the Rediscover Hour. And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, we'll talk live with Relevant Radio's Father Rocky, who will be in town for the Archdiocesan Women's Lenten Retreat.
And make plans to deepen your prayer life this Lent and invite a friend or family member to join you. We'll have details on the upcoming Rediscover Prayer Evenings.
Plus, Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute offers a preview of his talk at the 2014 Men's Conference.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.